as a founder, you get incentivized, part of a collective. So the idea behind that is that, exactly, so you're joining, are you gonna get the better outcome doing it alone yourself, or joining a group and working within the collective, like with which solution will grow you better?
Hey, welcome back to the show. And I am so excited today to have Alex with us because he's got an amazing business. Alex, will you tell us what you do and what problems you like to solve with your business?
No, because my fifth business, so I had to bang on a couple of problems before, but this one is dear to me. So what we do at Noke is we're trying to help people consume, you know, better product, better goods. And we do that in a slightly different way. Like we essentially buy brand, a DTC brand that trying to bring either product that are more responsible, more recycled, more usable.
I gotcha.
Definitely are more circular and all that. And just trying those brands to scale within the group and do it together. So it's a collective endeavor.
Love it.
Typically funders stay with us as well, like during the process. So that's what we're building at Noke.
Love it. Love it. Please tell me you're not involved in promoting paper straws.
Yeah, paper straws. No.
No. Okay. All right. Good.
You don't like it?
Yeah, that's my,
nobody like it.
You know, I'm all for saving the earth and keeping everything clean, but paper straws is where I draw the line. I can't use paper straws.
No, there's other better material out there, but no, we're not doing that. Like,
awesome. Awesome. Well, give us some insight. I mean, first of all, why solve this problem? And second of all, tell us about your avatar. Like, who are you really trying to help? What kind of businesses do you help bring that DDC play into a more sustainable future?
Yeah. Well, the consumer that we cater to, like, is typically like 25 to 50 years old. Like, so that's really,
gotcha.
The bracket actually cut at 48, like any average. It's like 28 to 40.
Interesting.
A little bit like, okay, more women than men. So 70% women, 30% men, higher income, higher education, typically in North America and the coast or big cities. And typically people that like to develop a relationship with the brand and the product that they buy, or I'm more curious about like how it's made, where it's made, what's the story behind it, and like what's the
right
design element to it. So that's the prototype of the people that we cater to in our three vertical survey.
Cool. I mean, not everybody likes to share that. So how are you getting in with these clients that do want to share that and want people to know the story of how they do what they do?
Yeah. The brand typically that want to join the group is typically founders that maybe they had a job before at a big bank, like, or they were accountant, lawyer, engineer, whatsoever. It's very diverse, like the entrepreneur that we're speaking to. And typically those people see the same thing than us. Like they see that there's an opportunity to bring a better product in the market that is a bit more responsible, sometime like made in the US, made of different material, better design to it and so on. Nowadays, like it's easier to start, like you have all the tool, Ben Whistle and so on, and getting early capital. And again, maybe you can get to your first $1, $2, $3, $5 million like worth of sales.
Sure.
But after that, like problem hit. You need to hire more people. You need to suddenly there's no capital available at all. Customer
acquisition,
and marketing is challenging. And you gotta solve all of those problems at once alone. That's where they would either knock at our door, or we would find them and then engage a conversation and say, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, we're building the same thing. Do you want to build it like part of a group instead of building alone in your corner? So it's really about
what
I was saying about the collective endeavor. Like that's what we're about. Like there's tons of things we can utilize that are not unique to the brand. I mean, shipping to the customer can be mutualized. Finance can be mutualized. Capital can be mutualized. Tech. All the technology and software stack as well. What remain to the brand is very what you're building as a product and the special relationship you're developing with the customer. So that we keep.
Okay, this is really fascinating because I'm not sure if everyone caught what you just said, but I heard it loud and clear. And that is, no, seriously, like this is really cool because what you're saying is that many of the operational parts of a business are agnostic to what the business actually does and the problem that they solve. And what you're doing is you're centralizing a lot of the resources that it takes to run those agnostic parts, putting them into one collective, and then letting the very specific deliverable that that business does be their unique play, while all of the things can be centralized. Is that what you're saying?
There we go. You're hired.
Woo! Woo! I love it. That is a really cool model. So the types of businesses you're targeting, though, are primarily businesses that are trying to be sustainable, businesses are trying to be responsible, mostly D2C people. That kind of, I'm connecting all the dots here.
Yeah. Like we do the model is that we like 85% of our revenue are coming directly with the customers. That's a D2C model where you have a conversation with the customer directly. Sure. To be more domain specific, and less vague, there's three vertical that we're catering to. So we have a fashion group, and that is clothing and so on. We've got a lifestyle group that have many brands, backpack, phone holder, the kind of stuff cool. that you bring out of the house. And we have a home group that is essentially furniture, kitchen, wear, decor, and those kind of things. So three vertical, 15 brand disseminated between the three of them.
So. Wow. I love it. This is very cool. And a lot of those brands do have very familiar or very similar operational aspects to them, right? I mean, one has a lot of shipping, receiving, I could see how you can marginalize off that. It's very creative.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty old model when you think about it, roll up and, or even holding. They were popular in the 80s and the 70s, and they will be popular now, because when in a downturn, since you have less opportunity for organic growth, you will tend to get own organic growth and do consolidation. Totally. So the old model typically centralized mostly finance and back office kind of activities. Right. Where we're pushing it is that now with digital tool and all that, it's more easier to have a platform with operational layer to it, marketing layer, data layers and right. software layer, and those things can be mutualized as well.
Interesting. Very cool. Now, if you're one of those people out there and you're listening to this and you're in those verticals, listen really carefully. And even if you're not in those verticals, listen very carefully to the rest of the conversation, because I have a feeling we're going to dive deep into some really cool solutions and simplification of sometimes problems that founders have a tendency to make very complicated that can be very simplified. So let's dive in a little bit. As you engage with a new client like this, what are some of the first problems that you see that you think, okay, we can fix this with our eyes closed? Are there those types of things you see?
Yeah. The number one thing that we saw the past couple of years are uncontrolled marketing spend. There's nothing more easier to. Yeah, right? You probably have that a lot on the show.
Right.
So
we do.
Showing tons of. Exactly. So, you want to stimulate your growth and you say, well, I'm going to just pour gas in Facebook or Google Ads or something like that. So there's many problems there. First is if you don't have good control mechanism, anything like that, you're just going to burn money. It's not necessarily investment, specifically not an e-commerce. E-commerce is you need to make money on every purchase. So your unit economics actually needs to work. So that's the first thing. So uncontrolled marketing spend, number one. Second is not knowing your unit economics, contribution margin. What remains in your pocket after you paid marketing and gross margin and all that? That's really important, because if you're pressing on a pedal, pouring gas on ads, that's usually the first problem that we see.
Yeah.
So uncontrolled ad spend, where there's a wishful thinking sometimes that throwing money at ads, it's something's going to return out of it.
Totally.
By magic of some sort. Second problem we saw also is a lack of transparency or details and the unit economics of every sales.
Okay.
When you're selling a product, it's interesting, but you would be surprised. Most founders, they look at broad sales and then ad spend roughly But then they don't understand very much their cost of product, the shipping, the return, the discounts. Some don't even like calculate that.
Yeah.
And when you count into everything, what really remains in your pocket to reallocate inside the business?
Right.
So what's the economic contribution of the sales? And when you do the math, some of the business sometimes they just it's out of control and
100%.
they have lost it. An easy one for your listener: pricing. Pricing is interesting because it's all relative. Like it's made up. We decide the pricing.
Totally. Thing.
And most of the time, founders, they tend to want to sell at a much lower price point than they should.
Right.
Just to be more attractive.
Right.
But the thing is that if you have low margin and you're selling too low, like try to defend your product instead of chopping price.
Totally.
You're going to get like more profit and you can serve your customer better. So pricing is one thing. And then finally, I would say it's about operation.
Right.
Some people trying to do everything themselves. There's two cases. There's the one that's trying to do everything internally and then end up within a deluge of complexity. Totally. And there's the one that they externalize so much that
there's nothing left to their business.
Actually, like,
yeah.
There's nothing left. Yeah, exactly. So four case figures. So ads, you know, knowing your data, pricing, like pricing too low, and either trying to do everything in-house or everything out. Like, so one or two.
Guys, running a business, honestly, can leave a lot of founders and operators feeling lonely and isolated. If you have ever felt that way, trust me, I know what it feels like. And there is something you can do about it. You've heard a lot of our guests talk about the fact that being lonely and isolated is one of their biggest challenges in trying to run and scale their business. CaptainsCouncil.com. Go to CaptainsCouncil.com right now and see what we're doing to resolve this problem. We want you to be a strong operator who has solutions and has a way to get around the challenges you're currently facing. What most founders don't understand is that you're not alone. The challenges that you're facing, likely somebody else has already overcome, and they can give you the feedback you need to overcome them. Who better than your peers, other founders, other operators who are joining with you in a small group setting, a global community setting, as well as at our in-person events to guide you through these challenges that you're facing right now. Don't give up, keep on pushing, but do it with some good advice from your peers. Go check it out at captainscouncil.com and let me know what you think about the offering. We can't wait to see you there. It's really interesting. I love that you brought up all those points because I totally agree with every one of them. I can tell you personally, I've struggled with all four of those points. I mean, I've been priced too low. I've been priced too high. I've been, you know, I've had poor operational skills before where I didn't really understand how to do what I was doing, you know, and I think every founder out there, you know, specifically people that are in that $1 to $10 million range really have a hard time knowing what their strengths are versus what they should outsource or what they should bring in fractional leadership or have a team like you come in and centralize some things. You know what I mean? So how do you solve that problem?
Yeah. typically like the best scenario for us is the founder join us. Like, and the way we operate is that we essentially bring the entire business. So we don't do passive investment or just take a stake. So it's really like you're joining the group. And as a founder, you get incentivized, part of the collective.
Interesting.
So the idea behind that is that exactly. So you're joining, are you going to get a better outcome doing it alone yourself or joining a group and working within the collective?
Wow.
Like with which solution will grow you better? And then we try to incentivize the founder depending on what's his driver and so on to, you know, just continue to grow his business, but removing the roadblock, like, and what can we take at the group level? And voila. So that's one case figure.
Interesting.
Sometimes like the founders, they're just exactly. That's the best case. Second case, sometimes is founder is just really tired, discovered that they don't have the skill set, but they still build something that is very valuable. And then, it's mostly about transitioning out and offering a way out for the founders. Or at least a structured transition, I would say. But we really tend to go more for the first time, which is bring in
So are people then like just bringing in chunks of equity into the Noke group, or what does that look like exactly? I mean, it sounds fun, but are people, to what cost are they bringing things into the Noke family here?
Yeah, the well, there's always four components, like when we structure a deal and when we try to find the right equation for the founder. So there's right. a cash portion, like our what can you get today? There's what can you get later in the form of a earnout. There's a portion. Sometime if we don't see the value the same way, we can say, well, you know, maybe we can build some kind of differential and right. you can get a chunk later if you hit certain milestones. And then there's a stock component, as you mentioned, which is the incentive, also part of the group. So it's right. really like those, one of those four components blended together.
Fascinating. Fascinating. That's definitely different than most people would imagine going. You know, a lot of people feel like they've just got to go raise money, or they've got to raise, you know, some type of capital to get some help with their business. But you're saying bring in your operations, and as a team, as a group, we'll collectively hone in on the areas we're best at and build each other's up to a certain level. Is that what you're doing?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly that. Of course, after that, you're no longer the sole owner. You're part of a group, but there's many other owners that are part of a group. Like, I'm an entrepreneur, like Oliver, also investor, like entrepreneur as well, and all that. Like, so we're all in it together. So I think it's all about like what thinking collectively
yes.
instead of thinking like in a single. Wow. Single founder mindset.
Wow. Interesting. All right. So this sounds cool. What kind of challenges have you hit? Like, trying to build this, it doesn't sound like a very easy thing to talk people into.
No. For real. First was calibrating and finding what's the exact characteristic of a good Noke brand. So in the beginning, we say, oh, we're going to go after interesting brand that are on Amazon, and then we'll help them.
Right.
Like, we're going to develop the relationship outside of Amazon. That doesn't work that way. You don't really have a conversation with your customer on Amazon. So,
right.
so that
right.
thesis, we left it away. Then the second thesis was, oh, okay, we're going to try to find brand that have unrealized value. Like, so let's say they're not profitable. There's some issue, and we're gonna fix this.
Right.
This is very difficult if you haven't found your product market fit or show some kind of upscaling or growth. So,
right.
so the first initial years were trial and learn, I would say, the first 3-4
sure.
years. And
sure.
then eventually we find our model. Okay, so we're best when the brand has found this product market fit. They already experienced some growth, but now they have growth pain.
Right.
But there's a team and a founder and all that, and we can get this inside the group, and we're going to be able to make it more enjoyable for everyone, like
right.
The
right.
customer, the team, and also from an investment standpoint.
Cool. And so, I mean, are you seeing people around you trying things like this? Like, this is a very fascinating model. Like, is this something that you guys are kind of at the forefront of, or what are you doing?
Like I said, it's an old model, like in the financial language. Yeah, exactly. Like it's called a roll up, but then, as I said, we're more operating. And from 2000 to 2021, there was kind of a craze of so-called e-commerce aggregator.
Sure.
There's a couple of big names that went in market
okay.
that raised $1 billion, like Trazio in New York, Perch in Boston,
right.
SellerX in Europe. So I think billions of dollars
okay.
were raised to aggregate, but they were mostly doing Amazon like we thought we were supposed to do in 2018. so it's interesting. So they started later with more capital, and they took the route that we decided to abandon in 2018. So and to be fair, those guys, typically they approach it from a pure financial, okay, let's build a big group. The differences
right.
with Noke is that we selected from the beginning that we would be about premium brand, not luxury, but premium
right.
brand with premium design and an element of sustainability in the broad sense. Like, is the product that we're selling answer one of the 3R, or is made locally or thing like that, but to the point where it can be scaled. So I would say like, yeah, there is other player out there, but they're not like us.
No. So as you know, the industries you're targeting make a lot of sense to me. How have you been able to, like, it's always a challenge to break into some of these verticals and hit as hard as you want to, but I got to think that at this point, you know, you've got yourself some solid client base. How do you see this growing next 3-5 years?
Yeah, well, the good thing is that there's, you know, there's tailwind and headwind. So the headwind,
yeah,
most people knows about it, like the interest rate, the economy, there's some level of uncertainty. But there's a lot of tailwind as well. Consumer, actually, if you look at the consumer study, that consumer are willing to spend more on product that have sustainable thesis, that are made different. So the team support in our portfolio is actually stronger today than it was 3-4 years ago. Second, e-commerce purchase and engaging directly with the brand, it's a long-term trend. So people continue to be more engaged with brand online. And omnichannel and all that. So that's also something helping. And also from the beginning, we wanted to operate like a profitable group. So instead of over leveraging the entire group, we've made a lot of effort actually to manage a profitable group. And today that's all about that. Like when you have hardship and uncertainty in the market, if you make profit and you can operate at a profit, you're master of your own destiny. If you're over leverage or you need your next round of VC, you don't control your destiny that much.
True. So my mind is spinning with all sorts of questions, but you know, I want to dive into the fact that as you create this group of other founders and this group of other business, you know, thinkers, I personally am a huge advocate of being part of peer network groups. You know, a big advocate of that. How much does this look and feel like that? Like, are your founders communicating with each other? Or is there a lot of that kind of back and forth, almost like an advisory board for each person as they kind of pitch the problems of their business each week or month?
We're always refining that model. But let's say as a basic, so every month we have like a leadership board with every founders and all of my functional like executive team, and we go over trend, how can we serve more the customer, what's the health check with the team, what's the investment opportunity. And so at a minimum we're doing that on a monthly basis. Then we have specific subgroups, so marketers, for example. So I have a group of every social marketer across, or 140 different employee across the globe. They gather together and then they're going to share like, okay, what did I do? Like in terms of UGC, did you have this problem?
Right.
And they exchange on that. Same thing with CRM, the email team, so the marketing team is very, very active and sharing. And obviously today you get Slack channel, you've got a training practice. We've got two leadership meeting per year as well, where we gather everybody that manage a team independent of the brand, bring them all together. So we did one this summer, north of Montreal. And and for 2 days, we spent time together and we bang our head on certain specific strategies. So for example,
love it.
This summer, we've worked on carbon reduction, circularity, how can we reduce the amount of what goes to the landfill, and upcoming Christmas season as well. So internal peer group, one of the most appreciated.
Well, I'm glad you say that because I'm a huge advocate and I tell people all the time, you know, if you're struggling to know what your next steps should be, talk to another founder, because chances are there's 1,000 people within a mile radius of you that have been there, done that. You know what I mean? So I'm a huge advocate. I'm glad that you're seeing that benefit out of that. You know, I love to ask all my guests, you know, who has been that impact in your life that has kind of inspired you to make these moves in your business? Who did that for you? Like, why are you doing this whole thing?
Oh, there's a, yeah, you meet different different figure in life, some real, some true books and stories. But as you mentioned, you need some role model to get inspired to. I'm lucky enough to have been raised in a family of small entrepreneur.
Oh, cool.
With very, very good core founding, like value, like couple of the strongest thing that my dad and grandfathers actually like shared with me and my mom as well and all that is, well, if someone can do it, you can do it as well. It's just a matter of how much time you put on a problem and you can learn. So that faculty to learn is one. Second is, my dad was at a retail store. So,
cool.
You know, sales and stuff like fluctuate throughout the year. So right. You got to be resilient. Like it's not because you had a terrible day or a terrible quarter that your life is right. Done. You still have your family, you still have your thing. So just keep perspective.
Love it.
You know, fence yourself like about like what's happening and all that. So that build resilience. And and yeah, good grit. never get up. Like you have to be tenacious sometimes. Like some problem, if it's a worthy problem and it's the moral thing to do and the right thing to do for the business and so on, just bite it until you get it done. Like
I love
and
it.
And if you do that over time, like that's how you build the stuff. So I would say a lot about the core is the family, then friends, and a couple of role models throughout my career as well.
Awesome,
has been helpful with that.
Awesome, that's I love it. I think that you've been lucky to be raised in an environment like that, and you know, not everyone does it though. Not everyone catches on to the same vision, same strategy. And I'm impressed that you've been able to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the oldest of three. I've got two other brothers, so maybe by being the oldest, you're trying to what's the saying? They say you're trying to live up to your father's dream or make up for his mistake or something like that. but yeah.
Oh, don't share that with my son, my oldest son. That's awesome. Well, Alex, I really appreciate the conversation we've had today. And for those listening, I got to believe that there is some huge value nuggets you've been able to capture out of today's conversation. Alex, before we leave, is there anything you'd like to leave with the audience of how they can engage with you and what kind of things you feel like you left on the table?
Yeah. Well, I'm available on LinkedIn all the time or on the show if they want to contact and so on. Like I usually like super open to discuss with any founders.
Cool.
About their story and all that. Like specifically if you're in the e-commerce space, like know about it like a lot. So we can, maybe it's not necessarily cool. A known brand, but we can be helpful in another way. Like we're trying to be good, good citizen overall, and helping the community, like,
I love it.
All that. So don't be shy.
Awesome.
We're responsive.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Alex, thank you so much for the time, buddy. And we look forward to catching up with all of you on the next episode of this. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Awesome.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, thanks for sticking around to the end of that call. I loved that call with Alex. I learned so much from him. And I think he's got a fantastic business model. If you are not in the position to where you are not talking to other founders on a regular basis, you are missing out incredibly. He has set up an amazing platform through which his business partners now, the businesses that are part of his group, are able to communicate and collaborate with each other. It is critically important. If you don't have that group, you need to consider checking out Captain's Council. CaptainsCouncil.com is really at the forefront of developing a new way to connect with the owners and founders of growing and scaling businesses so that you can build an advisory board of people that are actively building and growing their own businesses. Who better than to give you advice of for your business than others who are trying to grow and scale their business? Chances are you have the solution they're looking for, and chances are out of the 10 or 11 people in your group, you're going to find some help you never thought you could get access to. So take a listen, join in. We cannot wait to connect with you in the future, either through Captain's Council or you continue listening to the podcast. Thanks so much for being here. We can't wait to catch you on the next one.